Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river, do we recreate ourselves? What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Char and Trev, who came up with this idea. Welcome to the August 1st, 2024 V-Wave Podcast. Today's podcast is with the Burnham Marusich family, consisting of Amanda, Macy, Azalea, and Wiley. This family just completed a Grand Canyon River trip from Lee's Ferry to Pierce Ferry, and Amanda and Macy's two children, Azalea and Wiley, paddled their kayaks the whole way. Now, there's nothing unusual about two children paddling through the Grand Canyon, except that Azalea is 10 and Wiley is 8. These two children now hold the record for the youngest boy and girl to kayak the entire 280-mile distance from Lee's to Pierce through the Grand Canyon.
Macy and Amanda, I want to start out today's talk. How did you two meet?
So, I actually met Amanda back in high school at a roll session in Eugene, Oregon, and it was pretty funny because I was volunteering for the local kayak shop, and Amanda was willing to help haul boats in return for getting some roll work, and...
in return for free use of the gear, because I didn't have any money, and a free ride to the pool, because I didn't have a car.
Yeah, so I was the individual that actually drove her to the pool, and it just so happened that my dad, who was also at the pool at the time, we learned to kayak together, he switched cars with us, and forgot to give me his car keys to take everything back to the kayak shop, so... Amanda and I ended up having to, like, sit in the parking lot for a solid hour after the roll session to, before he could come back and actually get me the car keys for the car that he had left me with.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
So
let's
back up a little bit. Macy, you mentioned that you learned to kayak with your dad.
Correct.
And when was that?
I believe it was back in 1994, summer 1994. We took a class together through a local athletic club, and the two instructors were Brian Tooley and an individual named Steve Albrechtson. And after that class, I kind of got hooked and basically started paddling as often as I possibly could.
Wow, how fun is that? And Amanda, what attracted you to kayaking?
Well, my dad and I had actually taken some whitewater canoeing classes for the city of Eugene.
Oh, wow.
For our outdoor program. And it was fun, but we had also done some inflatable kayaking, and the inflatable kayaking was even more fun. And so he and I had bought these little orange torpedo inflatable kayaks, and we'd been poking around all over Oregon with them. And eventually... we got to the point where, you know, we were running some of these rivers that had play spots, and I was watching my friends surf on these play features, and whenever I would go out there in my inflatable kayak, I would immediately, you know, crash and burn and flip over and have to swim for shore, right, so I'd then hike my stuff up, like, you know, a long ways, whereas my friends would just roll right back up. And so I was like, oh, man, that's the way to go.
Cool.
So that's what motivated me to learn how to roll, is to be able to surf on fun waves. On the Mackenzie.
Oh, wow. Very fun. On the Mackenzie down near Eugene there or further up?
Yeah. Yeah, and then my dad learned how to roll with me, and I made the switch over to hard shell kayaking eventually. At first, I was like, oh, there's so much technique, so much work. I like the inflatable kayaks. It's all just fun. But then, you know, after another season, I was like, okay, I get this. So, you know, I'm going to make the switch. And then my dad stayed with his inflatable kayak for quite a while, but now he goes back and forth, I'd say. He's like 50-50.
And when did you guys, you know, start getting serious about hanging out with each other and go forward? And when did you first start talking about raising a family and how you wanted to raise a family?
So we met in high school when I taught her how to roll.
The first time.
And she was a freshman in high school, and I was a senior in high school. And we kind of knew who each other were and stuff like that, but I bumped into her in downtown Eugene 2 years later, and we kind of reconnected and started kayaking together. When was that?
In 2000.
That was around the year 2000, and our kayaking friendship kind of turned into a serious relationship, and that lasted through both of us going through college and grad school, and we had been dating and paddling with one another for probably 12 years or so before we decided to get married, and then about a year or two after that was when we decided to start a family and have kids. But kind of through those 12 years, you know, I was kayaking professionally for Perception Kayaks and traveling around and doing the freestyle kayaking scene, and Amanda was joining me on a lot of those adventures as well. And then kind of when that ended and we both started getting jobs, we both started living in Reno, Nevada, and basically just we both fell in love with just running all the Class 5 rivers in the Sierra Nevada.
Wow.
And so we both have, you know, done a lot of runs like South Merced, Dinky Waterfalls, Upper Cherry Creek, I mean, Devil's Canyon. And we just, before kids, we spent a lot of time, you know, really, really just spending our summers loving the Sierra Nevada.
So this is really solid Class 5 stuff. It's just not like pool drop. It's just like drop, 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 drop. Is it?
Yeah. Some, you know, things like South Merced have a little bit of everything, right? They've got boulder gardens. They've got slides. Like, it's great.
Yeah, it's still the runs that people fly from all over the world to California in the springtime to go run.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we decided to have kids, we kind of made a pact that's kind of a joke as well, in that, you know, each of us has to paddle 50 days in a calendar year, or that person reserves the right to divorce the other one if they don't get it, barring injury. And it's been a joke, but really, really what it is it's more of a commitment for both of us to make sure that we are spending time on the river as a family and enjoying the river as a family, rather than one of us tucking out on a weekend and going and paddling Class 5. And so it really just kind of shifted our motivation and shifted our goals from going every weekend and paddling, you know, Class 5 to finding things where the whole family could partake, and as a family, we could all get as many days as possible in a year. And it's just been a really just wonderful experience, kind of transitioning from a Class 5 lifestyle to like a Class 2 lifestyle, then a Class 2 plus lifestyle, then a Class 3 lifestyle.
Well, I think there's a line in the California Guidebook by Lars Holbeck, where he says, after a certain point, things don't get more beautiful. They just get different. And I think about that all the time, because I think our paddling that Macy and I have, the type of paddling that we do, started out as like freestyle kayaking, and then we did a lot of California creeking, and then we transitioned into like long hike-ins and, expedition kind of stuff. And now we're in this place where we're paddling with our kids on all these really beautiful, amazing, wonderful family wilderness adventures. And it's not that any one style of paddling is any better or worse than any other style. They're not more beautiful. They're different, right? And so it's been really fun to go through all these different styles of paddling and enjoying each one for all the wonderful things that are part of it.
Awesome. That is so fun. That's such a neat and healthy outlook on how to do this. Hey, Azalea, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I've got a question for you. Can you remember way back the first time you went boating? Can you remember that?
Nope. I think I was 6 months or something.
Well, maybe your mom and dad can help me. So, Macy and Amanda, when was the first time you took Azalea out on the water?
So, we have a running joke that Azalea's 10 years old, but she's been kayaking for 10 years, 9 months. we actually found out or had a suspicion that was confirmed that Amanda was pregnant with Azalea when we were in Three Rivers, California at breakfast and about to put on the East Kahwea
River. Oh, wow.
To go kayak it, which is a solid class 5+ day run. And that came to be true. But when Azalea was born, we started getting her on the river, whether it was just in the cockpit, surfing really small waves, or in an inflatable kayak at about 6 months old.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was so little that she could just sit in the cockpit with us, and we'd paddle around and do any turn. And then we invested in a raft, and we learned to row. And it was perfect because we started on incredibly easy, mellow things, right, figuring it out. And that was just right for having a, a tiny tot. And so we have pictures of, this itty-bitty baby girl in this ginormous 16-foot raft.
Fun, very fun. Okay, and I should mention that Azalea is 10 and Wiley is 8. And so Azalea, let me go back and ask you a little different question. What can you tell me about the early river running that you actually remember?
I kind of remember the smaller ripples. They kind of felt, now looking at it, they felt like they were going to find one with no scraper. They kind of felt like they were the ones that hermit, just like on a different river and in a different boat. Now that I've run the Grand Canyon, but I think that like tiny little rifle could like was a huge feature for some reason. But I was also really tiny, and it was fun. But sometimes it was really scary and annoying because I just wanted to stay home. And then I went on the river, and then it ended up being a lot of fun.
So when did kayaking start becoming really fun for you?
Probably the rafting trips on like Falls Canyon or the Lower Salmon.
Okay.
Because those are just really, really pretty fun rivers.
Fun. Okay. So now, off to Wiley. And so I have to go back to Mom and Dad here, Macy and Amanda. Personal joke. So. was Wiley on the water then? I'm assuming like ground zero kind of thing, just like Azalea.
Yeah, he's been paddling for 8 years, 9 months as well.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. And you know, I just want to ask, do you think having your kids introduced to boating in the womb? I mean, some people, you know, they introduce their kids in the womb to music or you know, other things, and they get an idea that something's going on. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do think what was awesome for the kids were those dynamic duos from Jackson, because when our kids were little, like, what we would do is, you know those little Bumbo foam seats that you use to, like, have it, if it, a kid can just barely sit up, you would, it's like a little foam high chair kind of situation, but it's just the seat part.
Yeah.
You can put one of those in the cockpit, the front cockpit of a dynamic duo.
Okay.
And what it does is a little kid would just kind of slosh around in the cockpit. And when you put the boat on edge, they wouldn't feel that, right? Because they would just be sloshing around in this ginormous seat.
Yeah.
But if you have a Bumbo that you strap the Bumbo, not the kid, you strap the Bumbo into the seat, and then the kid sits in the Bumbo, and then we would use my double XL maternity spray skirt, so
okay,
a ginormous, like, hole for the waist, right? So if you fall over, the kid's just falling out. There's no way they can stay in. But they're sitting in this Bumbo, so when you put the boat on edge, they can feel the edges.
Ooh.
So I think that was really helpful, because we have two of those dynamic duos, and each of us would take a kid, and we'd swap every day, right? So the one kid didn't get attached to paddling with the other kid, right?
Yeah.
The other parent, right?
Yeah.
And when we would do eddy turns or, you know, ferries or whatever, the kids would feel those turns. And so when they got in their little fun ones, like no skirts, and they started paddling their fun ones, they'd be like, 3 and 5, 3 and 4. Yeah. They knew, like, where to go, where to point their boat to catch the eddies. And they knew how to lean that fun one to catch the eddies. And so I think that being in that dynamic duo and having some of, you know, the snugness that the Bumbo seat provided really helped it, so that they don't have to think about things. They just do them. And now, just to what you're saying, where, you know, the exposure is just always there, right?
Nice.
We were running things like the Maine Payette, like Banks to Beehive, or the South Fork of the America in the Gorge, when Wiley was 2.5 and Azalea was 4.5. And so we'd be going down these, like, you know, Class 3 commercially rafted runs, and we'd have our tiny tots in the front. And, I mean, I remember multiple times where, like, I'd have Wiley in the front. Like, one day on the Maine Payette, he fell asleep. And I ran, like, most of the Class 3 rapids with Wiley literally, like, zonked out in the front. And so I had to take these, like, random, like, lines onto the side so I didn't just pummel him with a giant wave and wake him up. But I really think, like, you know, having them up a little bit higher with their own paddle and actually in, like, a Bumbo, it's almost like putting hip pads for a little kid. It allowed them to feel the edges and feel how the boats maneuver in the water. So when we gradually transition them to the Fun One kids kayak, and we started with no spray skirt on them, they already knew their eddy turns. You know, we would run miles and miles of Class 2 with the kids. And, like, you know, every other rapid, you pull over, have them get out, empty the boat out, because there's no spray skirt. You know, it's all
okay,
open canoeing for,
yeah,
for
yeah,
toddlers. But they already kind of had their strokes. They already kind of had their, you know, their edging and stuff like that. And then what we did was...
That's really useful, because kids, you can't explain in words how to catch an eddy or how to make a ferry.
Right.
Right?
They got
to
do it.
But if they feel it and they see it from
yeah,
being in the front of a tandem kayak, then when they're in their own little boat, like, they know what they're trying to do, you
lovely,
know? And they might submarine because they've got no spray skirt on and sink, whatever, you know? But they have, they know what they're trying to do. They have a goal, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. So Wiley, I've got a question for you. When did you do your first roll, and Was it hard or was it easy to get a handle on that?
Well, it was kind of hard, but in the next 2 days, I kind of got hooked on it, so I could do it over and over again.
Cool. And Azalea, was that the same for you?
Kind of. It was kind of like that, but at first I didn't really like flipping underwater, and then once I got my roll, it kind of made everything a little bit more comfortable.
Cool.
Flipping underwater and then being able to roll back up instead of having to swim.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that made a lot of rivers
better
for me. And I didn't really just get hooked on it. I kind of liked it. But then my liking for my role had gone way up than it was at the start.
Cool. Well, let me ask your mom and dad then. How did you approach the role, and how'd that all work out?
So we really didn't focus on the role for many years. You know, the kids started kayaking in their own kayaks at age 4, but we really just had a let's focus on technique, let's focus on learning to read the river, let's focus on all the intangibles. And not focus on the role.
Cool.
And
the adventure and the moving downstream and the catching crawdads and the fishing and the swimming.
Cool.
And all of those pieces.
And making it fun. And then if you flip, well, you swim. And that's great. When you're starting in really easy water, you know, it swim's not a huge ordeal. It's not a bad thing. And eventually, like, you know, the swim turned into kind of a fun thing as well. And they would try to, like, launch over rocks and stuff like that, and sometimes slip. And so we really didn't focus on the role. And frankly, you know, they're just too small to actually be able to do it when they started kayaking. And we really didn't introduce really starting to learn how to roll until the kids are about 6 and 8. And that's when we kind of started kind of working on it a little bit.
Well, because the progression was they had no skirts in the fun ones for a long while. And then they had a season where they had these nylon skirts that are, you know, auto-eject, right? You set the tightness on the bungee low enough that when the kid flips over, they don't have to remember to pull their skirt. Like, they can remember and they can pull their skirt, but if they don't, they're just going to tumble out because their weight's going to pop the skirt anyway.
Uh-huh.
And so they had a whole season of paddling with the nylon skirts just to keep the splash out, make it easier, and to practice pulling. And then the next season, they got neoprene skirts, and that's when we started teaching them how to roll. And then this is really only their second season with neoprene skirts.
Yeah, they learned to roll at age 7 and age 9. So it was really early on last year.
Okay.
And then we kind of had to go, we went and just started play boating with them first so we could be in a controlled situation where we'd make sure that when they flip, if they did have to swim, that they remembered to pull their spray skirts.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of paddling. It's almost like we toned it down with them a little bit for a good chunk until we were fully confident that they were comfortable remembering to drop the paddle, pull the spray skirt, and swim. And then we started working on actually having them, you know, roll up and start working on, you know, on their rolls and I think
and we did lots of, you know, pool session play, and we we brought their boats once to a hot tub in the middle of winter.
Cool.
And they practiced their roll in this ginormous, you know, hot tub place.
We were skiing in Park City, and we'd go ski. And then we would smuggle the fun one into the hot tub.
Cool.
and work on paddle rolls and hand rolls and stuff like that.
Wow.
After a long day of skiing.
Who wouldn't want to learn how to roll in a hot tub, right? Like, the water is so warm.
Exactly.
And wonderful.
After skiing all day? Yeah, you bet.
That was pretty fun.
That sounds neat. And it's neat that Azalea, you know, was a little a little, a little reluctant at first, but then she realized quickly the tool that it was. And I'm sure that, it was the same for Wiley.
Yeah, and I think the playboating has been awesome for that. Would you agree, Azalea? Like going down to the Reno Park, and at first it was kind of intimidating, right, for you to go out and surf the waves. And now you go out there and you do spins and you fall over and you roll up and you'll go out there without your paddle and just your hands. And you'll try tricks and you'll hand roll up. So I think having a place that you can go back to again and again and again, and you get comfortable with it, like yeah. your local play park,
yeah.
Is really good for building that roll technique and for building that comfort with getting knocked around and upside down.
Okay, so here's a family that loves to boat, that lives to boat, lived to boat and loved to boat before they decided to have a family, and then said, well, why stop now? How did the Grand Canyon, especially this trip, how did that come about?
So we have some close friends. I started paddling with an individual named Taylor Robertson back in Eugene. And I've paddled with him for close to 30 years. He's just a dear friend of mine, and a guy I really look up to. He was one of the top paddlers in the world for a number of years. We were both freestyle kayaking and hard water kayaking. And we had started doing multi-day family rafting trips with one another. And we had always, every year we try to do at least one family trip. He lives up in Seattle right now. I live down in Reno. And so we always try to meet up to do one trip.
And his daughter is Kinley, and she's about a year and a half older than Azalea. So okay. It's perfect, right?
Yeah,
we've just had such wonderful times with them. And we started putting in for Grand Canyon permit a few years back. And
all four of our names in the hat, right? So all four grown-ups would throw their names in, and we'd see. And every year, none of us won.
Yeah, goose egg. And all of a sudden, we get a text from Tay's wife, Jen. It was like, oh, my God, I got a Grand Canyon ticket. And we were both like, oh, you're just messing with us. You're totally lying and just trying to, get one of those, psych. And so we kind of like, what, really? And she's like, no, I really got it. And she took a screenshot, with her phone and sent it to us. And we're like, no way.
And we were over the moon. We were so excited.
Yeah. And so, we feel really just lucky and blessed to have, gotten to be invited on their trip. And what was really cool about it is that, Tay and Jen assembled a group of friends that we've all known for, probably 25 years. And the group consisted of some of the, best kayakers in the world from the early 2000s. And some of them were rowing rafts, some of them were, going to kayak and hang out in the raft and the easy stuff. And it just was a really awesome group of people. That group was, when we were like, hey, would you guys be all right if our kids are up to the challenge with trying to paddle the whole thing? And the group was super supportive. And we were able to really just set great safety and have, just a really, to give you an idea, we had Jay Kincaid and Lisa Kincaid
and their two kids,
Chase and Addison, rafting. I've known Jay for 30 years. Ben Stokesbury in a kayak. Ben's just a world-renowned kayaker with multiple international first descents to his name.
Yeah.
He's still at it. Josh Bechtel, Jen's younger brother, who I used to compete against and kayak with, 20-plus years ago. Matt Hudgens, another guy I've known for forever. Jason Holman, another guy I've known for forever.
Really great paddlers, great people.
Yeah, Jay and Ten... Kay and Jen's daughter, Kinley, who's 11, joined us, and she actually paddled for most of the river as well. She paddled most of the run, too.
Cool.
So we just had a great group, and we were just able to put ourselves in, you know, situations where we had really strong safety for the rafts and really strong safety for the kayakers as
well. Yeah, perfect.
And it was awesome.
And just a great sense of fun, too, because with, you know, 5 kids and 10 grown-ups, like, you're just having a really good time going downriver.
Awesome. So, Azalea, what were your thoughts when you got to Lee's Ferry and saw all these boats and this river there? What were you thinking?
I was thinking that I could do a whole bunch of more rivers than I thought I could, because at the first I was just at Lee's Ferry. I was really worried, and I didn't think I could be able to paddle like Lava and Crystal and Hermit and Granite, all those rapids. And then when I got to Pierce Ferry, I realized I could do like harder rapids.
But right at the start, was it a little intimidating, or were you like, oh, I got this?
It was pretty intimidating.
Okay. Welcome to the club, my dear. And Whaley, when on your very first day, pulled away from shore, and there's kind of a long run around the corner to the Perea Riffle, and it's got some waves which are probably, you know, half as tall as you. What were you thinking when you paddled through that? Was like, yeah, I got this. This is easy, or was it a little tough? What were you thinking?
I was thinking that it was kind of in between. It wasn't the hardest I've done, but it was hard, but it wasn't the hardest I've done.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right. Nice. Because I always think of Grand Canyon as a place for learning. You start off with that rapid, and then there's another that's a little harder, and then there's another one that's a little harder, and then there's one that's kind of hard, but it's sort of a growing experience. Macy and Amanda, can you talk to that and how that worked?
Okay, so, yeah, so the first day, you know, we went probably 14 miles downriver on that first day.
Okay.
And you have I think it's either a 5 or 6 or 2 5s.
I think Badger is a 6, yeah.
Badger and Soap.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are pretty eye-opening for the kids. They got out of their boats, and they kind of scouted them for quite a while.
Good, good.
And they were like, oh, my God, these are huge. And you know, but they went down them. Wiley slipped in one of them, but rolled up. And I think they were just kind of like, oh, man, if these are 5s, like, what are the 8s and 9s going to look like? You know? And so that first day, I think, was kind of eye-opening.
Okay.
And I think they're both kind of like, are we up for this challenge? And, you know, we've always taken the tact of, like, you know, You can try to do this if you want, and we're going to put you guys in the best chance for success. But there is no pressure whatsoever
cool.
to run these rapids. Nothing. No pressure. It's if you don't like it, you can walk it. You can hop on a raft. We are never going to pressure you in a rapid. We're never going to, you know, to do that. You have to make these decisions on your own. Even though you're 8 and 10, we're treating you like an adult here. You have to be confident in your paddling and your ability, and you have to make the decision on your own as an adult.
Awesome.
So,
that's lovely.
And then on day two, you know, I think day two is a real game changer, right? Because you drop into the roaring 20s, and
yes,
it really picks up, and there's a lot of action.
At the start, we had brought our raft, and then there was 4 other rafts on the trip. And so Amanda and I were taking turns, one person rowing one day, one person kayaking one day. And
okay.
So Amanda switched, and Amanda had day one with
kayaking with the kids.
And so I got to paddle the kids down the Roaring Twenties.
Okay.
And there's so many fours and fives, and we had house rock on that day, that you really just can't stop and scout every rapid.
Right.
And so we really thought that, like, for the kids, this is going to be kind of the make-or-break day on whether mentally they
want that kind
to
of
do
stuff.
It and they,
or whether they don't.
Yeah.
And
they just, they figured it out, you know. So, like, on day two, it was my turn to row, and Macy was in the water with them, and I could see, like, they were just getting much more capable. You think confident is the word, Azalea? At paddling through, like, the big water style features, because you got to remember, like, why are these, like, 58 pounds and Azalea is, like, in the low 60s, right? And so they have to kind of take a different tactic at getting through breaking waves and lateral breaking waves than grown-ups do, who have, you know, momentum energy to help them out. And so on that day too, they just, I started seeing them really, you know, charging effectively and moving through things effectively, and, you know, having some really cool lines.
Whoa.
So I think that's when they figured it out and started moving with the big water style stuff and realizing that this is something they could do if they wanted to do it.
Yeah, it was a real breakthrough day. You know, I think they're intimidated on day one by the really big waves, but then you get into the Roaring Twenties and there's multiple rapids that have those waves and even bigger ones, and they really stepped up their game. It was actually day two was the only day that one of the kids had a swim, and it was at Georgie's, where there's that diagonal, there's a diagonal wave on the left that leads into a pretty big wave hole.
Yep.
And you know, being so light, the kids have to really power over that diagonal if they're going to get through that initial feature in that rapid. And, you know, Wiley, he hit that diagonal, and it probably kicked him 15 feet to the right, and right into the hole.
Oh, my gosh.
And when you're 58 pounds, you know.
You were tossed. Yeah. It was a nasty town, though. You want to tell us what it felt like to get tossed in that hole, Wiley?
Well, the first thing I know, oh man, I'm in the hole. Second thing I know, what am I doing in here? Third thing I know, my paddle gets ripped out of my hand. Fourth thing I know, I'm swimming downstream.
And then when Dad got to you, you were like, what'd you ask him?
I was like, Dad, you got an extra pair of shoes? He's like, yeah, why? Because I lost both of mine.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he wasn't like...
But then River Magic, we actually got the shoes back.
They floated.
So. Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing.
He wasn't rattled. He wasn't scared. I mean, I got to him and towed him to shore, and he was like, hey, Dad, do we got an extra pair of shoes? Because both of mine got ripped off in that swim, you know? And that's where
they... But then he was joking with, like, Matt and Ben about how he, you know, threw a McNasty in the hole, right? Which he did. He had a wild ride, but there was no control, right? But he's joking with him about it. Right?
And of course, you immediately reminded Wiley that in 1941, when Alexander Grant took a fold boat through the canyon, he did a lot of swimming, too. So welcome to the club.
Yeah. That was his only swim on the entire run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Azalea cleaned it. Both of them had some great combat roles and some clutch thoughts.
Okay.
But she stayed in her boat the whole way through, and those the temporary loss of shoes was the only swim Wiley had.
And Azalea, I want... Sorry.
I was going to other swims, too. Like, I... double combat rolls in lava. So I roll up and then I go through the giantest wave, like in the whole run, probably upside down. And then I roll up and then I get smacked over and I roll up. And I had one other one where I was in horns, like the middle of horns. And then I just get flipped over.
Well, hang on. We'll get there in a minute. I wanted to ask you about day two, the Roaring Twenties. At the end of that day, what were you thinking? Do you remember?
Well, I felt that I could paddle, like, larger water more confidently since I didn't swim in the Roaring Twenties. That was a really big boost of confidence for me.
Cool.
Basically, just the entire Roaring Twenties section was really fun, and it introduced me to a whole new paddling style of larger whitewater, and it was really fun.
Lovely. Well, then my next question for you, after the Roaring Twenties come the tedious 30s, meaning the Grand Canyon is a lot of flat water, and the whitewater's fun. The flat water is, well, flat water. And so I want to ask both of you, Wiley and Azalea, how did you handle miles and miles and miles of eddy fences and flat water?
Usually drafting mom or dad or the raft, because when you follow behind a raft, you're always, the raft kind of make a smaller eddy, and you can get sucked back up towards the raft, and that made paddling.
What a cool idea. Yeah.
Pretty fun and a little bit easier, and there's always a little bit of current, and if you stay in the current, then you can just float, and you'll keep
Yeah. Lovely. And Wiley, what did you find the flat water okay?
Torture. That's how I found it. But yeah, it was all right. But I would not call it an expedition.
Okay.
It was not fun. The second half.
Oh, you're talking about from below diamond, below separation, when it gets real slow.
Well, that's, you know, you start learning about flat water, you know, on day three, and you're...
I learned about flat water.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And the other thing that was cool, too, is that in the calmer bits, not just Kinley was in the water with Azalea and Wiley, but we had extra kayaks, and so Chase and Addison were able to jump in kayaks, like no spray skirts, because they haven't really done much paddling.
Okay.
But we were able at times to have, you know, four or even all five kids on the water goofing off and paddling downstream together.
Oh.
And when you get a pack of kids, all of a sudden it's a lot more fun for all the kids, right?
Yeah.
So in those quieter bits for our crew, it was actually, you know, a lot of activity.
Very fun. Oh, lovely. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about, let's take this one at a time, and Azalea, I'll ask you first. Can you please talk me through the hardest rapid for you of the trip?
Well, the hardest rapids for me were Thorn, Granite, and Lava.
Okay.
Thorn, because there was that really big ferry that you had to make, or you would be going into the Horn Hole, which I really did not want to go into.
Right.
So you had to get a lot of momentum, and there was always current pushing you into, like, what we call the Room of Doom.
Yep.
And the hole, and you had to move through that, so that was really tough. But we were able to do it, and...
Did you run Horn on a right to left, or did you run the left line?
Right of the Horn to left, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we waited until the water was peaking that day, and it was peaking somewhere at around 14 or 15,000.
Oh, great.
And so the Horn Rock was actually just barely underwater.
Okay.
And but there's a big diagonal. And so we went down the right channel and punched that diagonal driving left.
Okay.
And our friend Matt Hudgens led the way. And then Wiley was in second. Azalea was third. And I was fourth. And then Ben actually was on the rocks at the Room of Doom Eddy. So if for some reason something happened and they did go in the horn hole and swim into that eddy, we had safety right there.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Super. And Wiley, how was horn for you?
Because then you're like, oh, yes, I got through all the hard stuff. But at the top, it's like, I got to make this or bleh. Yeah, I did flip, but then I rolled.
Okay.
And then I just was honestly down for all the big stuff. So I was like, time to drift.
Cool.
So that's technically it.
What do you think was the hardest drop for you?
Lava. Probably lava.
Lava.
Or crystal.
Okay.
Lava or crystal.
Azalea, I want to ask you about bedrock. You mentioned that was one of the hard ones for you. Can you talk me through that one?
Bedrock was a little bit hard for me because we run at peak flow.
We were at low flow.
Yeah.
I was really worried about making the cut to the correct side of the bedrock because I do not want to go into the left eddy, and there are a whole bunch of boils at the bottom of bedrock that could easily slip Wiley and I. That one, we started in the middle, and then we started going over to the right bank.
Mm-hmm.
The right bank. Right on the side in the shallow, so you're kind of like shoving off rocks. And
yeah.
There's still a lot of current going into the bedrock area that you had to go through, and that one was pretty, like, ugly on the consequence standpoint, but it was like a class 2 move.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of really bad consequences that you really don't want to do. I was really happy to get through it without flipping or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, my friend Kim Lee paddled it with us, and we were both celebrating at the bottom.
I bet. You know, you and everybody else, it's like, woohoo, we got that one behind us. We're going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool. Wiley, can you tell me about Lava Falls?
Uh-huh. I'm going to try to hug the side of the hole. I don't want to go into a nasty rock, but I don't want to go into the hole. So I'm, like, right on the edge of my hole. My dad's like, go! And then I go left, like, 10 feet, and then I start paddling hard, right? And this, the hole was ugly. I don't want to go in that thing. I would probably have been still recycling it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got knocked over, right?
Normal.
And then I roll up, and then I got knocked over, and then I roll up. My friend up on the rock was like, he's down! That's what Addison, my friend, told me as soon as she got through lava. And then she told me about that, and I was like, oh, I never knew he said that.
Hmm.
I didn't know you were watching. But yeah.
So every time it would swat you over, you would swat yourself right back up again.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned both lava upside down.
Two clutch combat rolls.
Yeah. Why did you hold on for like 10 seconds?
No, you were. It might have felt like 10. But if you look at the video, you're only under for like a second or two. You hit your rolls real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the club. That's
and
good.
We had an incredible safety on that one as well. That day, Matt Hudgens had offered to row our raft down lava. And so when we went into the rapid, you know, we wanted to make sure the hole, it was at low flows just because the water was peaking in the evenings.
Yeah.
And so, and the ledge hole in the center had probably a 15 to 20 foot, you know, reversal. And we just had to make sure we stayed well clear of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so how we entered lava was we had all the kayakers go down first, which was our group, and then two of the rafters went down, and then two more of the rafters went down. But all the kayakers were at the bottom to pick up the pieces in case there were carnage, which there was none. But as kayakers, we had Amanda go first, then Wiley followed Amanda, and then Ben Stokesbury was third in line, Azalea was fourth in line, and I was fifth. So we had the two kids sandwiched between kayakers. And we just made sure that we all kept well clear of the hole at Lava because we felt that that was probably the most meaningful feature that we needed to avoid. And so we entered in the tongue about probably 15 to 20 feet to the right, okay. And then slowly started making our way left to avoid the kind of house-sized rock on the right at the bottom.
Yeah,
and we all, you know, like everyone did, we all scouted it from shore, and everyone looked at it, everyone talked about it, and we talked with the kids about how the move that you must make is you have to go to the right of that hole. And once you do that, there's like an ideal scenario after that, right, which is that you move a little bit back to the left then, and you can avoid nicely, you know, the rocks on the right and all of that.
Yeah.
But even if the only, like, but even if you mess up and you're upside down, you're, most of the water is going down the middle and not going to the rocks. And even if you were over there, you're going to come off of those, right? So, but the move you have to do is you have to miss the hole in the middle at the start.
That's right.
And so we talked about how, you know, there's where you start in that rapid is the most important thing, and that they really needed to feel confident that they could do that and that they could be in the right place at the right time at the start.
Yeah.
And then they had to start their momentum moving from that right-hand start to the middle. And if you can set the momentum and get even a little bit of that going, if any of the large waves, you know, breaking waves flips you over, you've got that momentum moving you to the middle, and you're going to probably miss the rocks on the right. That's not really going to be a big deal. So we looked at it, we talked about it, we had a plan. And the great thing about that rapid is that, you know, the really nasty feature comes right at the start. And so you're most likely in control at the start, right? The hardest rapids are when, like, the horrible features come at the bottom. Those are a lot more consequential, right? So it was a big rapid, and we talked about how the waves might very well flip them over, right? But that would be fine because they would have already made that move to miss the hole.
That's right.
And if the big waves knock them over, you just got to roll back up
That's
and keep
right.
on cruising.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds easy. Azalea, I've got a question for you. You're 10 years old, and I hope you get a chance to run the Grand Canyon next year. What are you going to do different next time?
Next time, I want to get either emerald or sapphire. In the one of the gems rapids with me, and then I rolled up. I want to try to complete the move that I made last time because I was trying to get into the eddy on the far right in one of these rapids, and there's this one curler wave that completely just took me and flipped me and then shoved me 30 feet off when I rolled. And I want to complete my move so I can have, like, the pleasure of, like, I've done that rapid, and I did not complete my move like how I wanted it, but I still completed the rapid. But I want to be able to look back at that rapid and say, I completed the rapid the way I've wanted.
Cool. Very cool. And Wiley, what are you going to do next time? A little different. What did you learn from this trip that you're going to take with you for the next one?
Not go down to Pierce Ferry.
Smart child there.
They got 21 miles of flat water in one day. That's moving less than a mile per hour. It's painful.
Yeah. Note to future future family boaters, practice many, many miles on flat water.
Yeah. So we actually are, everyone else in our group took out at Diamond.
Okay.
And we continued down just as a family to Pierce.
because we'd never done it before, and we figured if we were there, we wanted to see the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And it gives the kids the chance to paddle the whole river if they've paddled everything to that point. So, you get 10 miles downstream, and all the rapids are pretty much non-existent, and it's just moving water. And so they had a good 2 days, 40 miles of moving water that they had to paddle.
And it was a little tougher than we anticipated, because we had budgeted for 19 days, and on day 18, we kept looking and looking and looking for a place to pull over and camp, and there just weren't any, because those sediment walls go 40 to 50 feet up, straight up from the water, and they're constantly, sloughing, like little mini dirt avalanches.
Yep.
So we ended up paddling, 21 miles on day 18 and arriving at the Pierce Ferry boat ramp, not because we intended to go 21 miles with the kids, but just because there wasn't a place.
Where else are you going to camp? Yeah.
So, I kept telling the kids, this isn't necessarily a trip. This is an expedition, right? And the difference is that trips can be 100% fun, but expeditions have a little bit of everything. There's going to be some fun stuff. There's going to be some challenging stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to be able to push through the hard stuff.
Well, Wiley and Azalea, you need to remember that all of the other people that I've spoken with in your age class all said the same thing. So, no one yet has said, "Wow, those last 30 miles of flat water, that was the best." Nobody said that.
So we kind of got off to a rough start with the flat water stuff too, because we had purposely tried to spend most of our time in the upper canyon, where the walls are a little tighter and you get shade earlier in the day because it's a July trip. And so we all of a sudden got to the point where we found out, oh my gosh, we got to make up some miles.
Mm.
So I think it was day 12, 13, and 14, or 13, 14, and 15. We literally did a 30-mile day. Then we did 12-mile day that included lava the next day. And then we followed that with a 30-mile day the following day. It was just over 30. But we did 72 miles of the Grand Canyon in 3 days. And so those were pretty massive, massive days for the kids.
Yeah.
But they persevered, no one was towing them, they were drafting a raft or drafting a kayak here and there, but they were getting down on their own power.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Macy and Amanda, what will you do differently next time?
Well, I know what I'll do. I won't flip my raft in the sock no longer.
Wait. What?
So I was rafting the day we ran Hanson Sokta Logger. It was my day on the raft, and I totally just flubbed going into that main wave there, and just got tossed. And there was no one around me, so I ended up having to float next to my raft for about a half a mile until we could get it to shore and
get it
flipped over.
Booty beer,
I had to drink a booty beer for that one.
Oh my!
After that swim, next trip, honestly, I'd love to have the opportunity to kayak the entire stretch if possible. Just because, kayaking's my passion. I love it. I learned to row, so we can go do amazing multi-day trips with the kids.
Yeah,
but I would honestly rather be in my kayak. Because I love it so much.
Nice. And Amanda, you?
Yeah, I think my answer is sort of similar. So I did not flip the raft. Even though the kids were skeptical. The
point
we
noted.
The first hard raft at house, they were like, "Mom, are you going to flip the raft?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And they're like, "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" And I was like, "Well, you never know, right?" But I was really excited this trip for the challenge of rowing the raft. Because like I said, you know, we just started learning to row when we had the kids, and so we've been, you know, growing our skill set there. And I was really looking forward to rowing some bigger rapids, and it was great. It was super fun. Like, I got to row the Roaring Twenties, and I got to row all the stuff around Phantom, like Horn and Granite and all those good ones. It was a ton of fun, and I felt like I was able to put the raft where I wanted to put it and make the moves I wanted to make, and that was a really cool experience to finally feel like I'd arrived with some good skills at the oars, right?
Nice.
And I think when I go back for the next trip that we get to do, I'd love to mix it up, and I'd love to paddle those rapids in a kayak.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because, like, going through, like, I think the hardest rapid for me to row was Granite. I definitely felt the most out of control in the raft in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those waves would just be so much fun in a kayak.
Yeah.
They were kind of scary in a raft, but they would just be, like, frosting on a cape in a kayak. So I'd love to mix it up and take a different craft.
Cool. Excellent. Amanda and Macy, I want to ask you something I've been thinking about lately. Z Grant's run in Grand Canyon 1941 in a fold boat was considered impossible. He was going to die. We write these rapids ratings because people before us wrote them, and those people were in the 40s and 50s, like 1940s and 1950s, before maybe your parents were born. It seems as though boating technology and equipment are advancing to a point that the stuff that really terrorized our parents today is ho-hum for us. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the technology has definitely made it easier for people to be in control and be where they want to be and do big things, right? And I think you can see that even in the last chunk of years with the bow rocker that's coming on to the new creek boats now, right? Like the creek boats that are sold now are really different than the creek boats Macy and I were paddling right before we had kids.
Okay.
And that bow rocker, that enhanced bow rocker, makes resurfacing so much easier, and staying high and dry up on top of stuff so much easier, right? And that's not to say that it's easy to run big rapids now, but I think what it does is it allows people to have more opportunity, more potential to be in control in big stuff. Whether they can and whether they choose to do it is a different story, right?
Right.
But I definitely think that the technology is improving, and then I think So that's like the hard stuff, right? The technical aspect. But then I think there's the sort of the soft skills, right? Which is the skills that the way people look at the river, the lines they pick, and the experiences they've been able to build up.
Yes.
I think what we're seeing, like when Macy and I were paddling hard water, we came into it having started kayaking as teenagers. And now you've got, like, you know, Dane Jackson is amazing, right? And he started paddling as a kid.
Yeah.
And there's a whole cohort of kids, of people who started paddling as kids.
Yes.
And their fluidity is just awesome to see. It's kind of like with skiing, right? You learn as an adult and you can get really good, but you learn as a kid, and skiing is like walking, right?
That's right. That's
and
right.
And your odds of getting really good are greater, and your ability to get phenomenally good increase as well. So I think that combination of new technology as well as more time in the boat and mentors who have a lot of experience and can impart some great skills. You don't have to learn it the hard way, right? Like one of our friends, Mark Holcomb, he's in his 60s. He was telling us that he learned to roll from a textbook, right? He had no one around him. He only had like the textbook with the words to figure out how to roll.
Right.
And that's so hard. Whereas now if you have a friend who can, you know, a mentor, right, who can go out and teach you how to roll and, you know, hold your hand and stand in the water and guide your paddle, it's so much easier for you to do that, right?
Yes.
And so that's what I think is the difference now. Like there are people out there who have hard-earned knowledge who are willing to share that knowledge, which I love about the community. And you've got great technology, like new boat designs, to put that knowledge to work. And that's the combination is what's enabling people to do really amazing stuff.
Yes, that's a really good point. I think not only the technology, but the familiarity with water, to know how to swim, to start small and work your way up, which can happen at a fairly fast pace as you and your family demonstrate. That's a really good encapsulation of where we're at today.
Yeah, we use that phrase a lot, actually, your exact quote, that you want to start small and work your way up. My kids, even when they're jumping off stairs, they'll look at me and can I jump 4 steps, 5 steps? I'm like, I don't know, you tell me, start small, work your way up.
Yeah.
And it's because you want to have the crashes and the burns on the small stuff so you can know what it feels like to fail, so that when you're looking at a harder move, you can extrapolate how hard is it to hit that move and how much will it hurt if you fail to hit that move. And that's the kind of judgment that we're really working hard to help our kids gain, so that they can make their own choices.
Yes.
In the future.
Yeah.
And you've got to experience the small failures and the small crashes to do that.
Exactly. And Amanda and Macy, what other advice do you have for parents in your community and who might listen to this, who are thinking, how should I raise my children? Can you speak to that?
You know, how we raise our children is we try to maximize our fun time. You know, we both have 9-to-5 jobs, but every spare moment that we get is trying to maximize fun, maximize experiences with our kids. And it just so happens that our experiences are outdoor experiences. But,
yeah.
You know, we're really focused on, you know, we're focused on doing sports and activities with our kids where we're not just on the sidelines watching, we're doing stuff as a family together, and really trying to, you know, just maximize our time. You know, you got 18 years until they're working or in college, and, you know, you want to spend as much time enjoying life, enjoying the outdoors with their kids as possible.
Goes by too fast, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to wrap up this session now. Before I do that, is there anything else you want to bring in, or any of you want to bring in, that we haven't covered or talked about?
Do you guys like to say anything?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any fun memories you want to share, or pieces of advice for other kids?
No.
Sorry? Anything you'd like to share?
No.
I think they just got to go do it.
Yeah. I just think, you know, like getting to go on the Grand Canyon is such a special opportunity, and you know, the Grand Canyon can be a serious venture, but if you do it right, you have the right people, you know, you can really do some amazing things down there and have just a fantastic, safe, wonderful time. And I think, you know, just seizing the opportunity and you know, seizing the opportunity for our kids to succeed was just a really eye-opening and fun experience for our family, for sure. And especially getting to share it with some of our closest friends.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super grateful for the crew that we got to paddle with, because Jen and I started calling it the magic trip.
lovely.
It was our first time being down in that particular river canyon, and it's such a package. Oh, yeah, magic, because we lost Kinley's paddle, and it came back to us. but magic in so many ways, right? And we got to be there. To me, like, some of the most the best part about kayaking is moving through wild spaces with people that you really care about and getting to puzzle solve and, you know, be in wonder at how beautiful things are and work your way through, you know, like I said, the solving problems, right? Moving downstream and waking up and eating and doing it all again, right? And this being together with such fun people and a supportive crew and everyone on the same page about working together, I think that's what every good river trip is, right? And it was a really awesome experience to be there with so many kids, too, who were soaking that up, that style of working together and
yes.
Humility and I just thought it was such a wonderful experience. Super grateful to get to go.
You know, it just reminds me that's in our DNA. Working together as small teams in big landscapes where the elders teach the juniors and the juniors have fun.
It is really like an encapsulation of humanity.
Yeah. It doesn't get any more amazing than that. Well, Macy and Amanda and Azalea and Wiley, thank you so very, very much for taking the time this evening to visit. I'm super grateful that you all did this, and I look forward to hearing about more adventures from you all. Maybe you're going to run the Grand Canyon next year, and I want to hear all about that. With that, let's go ahead and conclude Macy and Amanda and Azalea and Wiley. Today is August 1st, 2024. My name is Tom Martin, and thank you all so very, very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.